Our gospel lesson this Epiphany Sunday comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, the first 12 verses of that chapter. Familiar words to probably every one of us. The hard part is hearing them again as if for the first time. So they might speak something new into our heart and lives at this point on our faith journey, at this point at the beginning of a new year. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, everybody, just take a deep breath in, hold it, and now exhale slowly. Exhale slowly, and listen carefully to what I'm about to say. 2020 is over. 2021 is here. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, there are people here. Did y'all hear that? Did you hear that out there? There are people here. Okay, so let's just think about this for a second. It's a new year. And we will be back together in this place over the coming months as circumstances allow. You know, this is a new day. And I want to say thank you to everyone for being so faithful across these many months of uncertainty. But so thank you. We're all looking forward to getting back to normal. And I'll put that in quotes. And we'll get back there. We'll get back to normal. Now some things will be different. They will be different. But that's okay. That's okay. Some things needed to change anyway. And so hopefully we can use this imposed pause to rethink what we need to do as we move forward together as the church, uppercase C. Okay, having said that, allow me to refresh your memory. After all, it's the beginning of a new year. Allow me to remind you of what we consider to be the defining characteristic of our community here. You know, a pandemic can disrupt a lot of things. But it cannot take away our sense of our reason to exist. So once again, I will restate what we all know in our heart of hearts. At Pleasant Grove, we exist to be the body of Christ. That's it. That's our mission statement at Pleasant Grove, and has been our mission statement for quite a while now. And you hear me say it over and over and over again. Further, we believe that in order to accomplish that mission, to be the body of Christ, we are called upon to reach out to everyone with radical hospitality, to engage everyone in ministry of some sort, and to seek to enable all in our community who call this place their faith home to grow in the depth of their spirit. And you know, whenever I think about our mission statement, I can't help but think about Paul's words to the church in Philippi. We have just been reading through those words in our Thursday Bible studies. We've been reading through Paul's writings this past fall. And in his letter to the church in Philippi, Paul writes these words, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus." We are the body of Christ. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Stephen Fowle translates it this way. Let this be your pattern of thinking. Let this be your pattern of acting. Let this be your pattern of feeling, which was also displayed in Christ Jesus. Now, of course, this is a time of year when we all think about changing things up a little bit. You know, resolutions. I used to make my resolutions public. Now, if you were here years ago, you heard those. I would enumerate them. But Bob Starks, I know Bob's probably watching, Bob would write them down, and then he would hold me accountable. At the end of the year, he'd go through them with me. So I had to stop doing that. I just said, thanks, Bob. Anyway, a new year generates change, thoughts of change. Usually at the heart of such ponderings lies the hope of self-betterment, you know, some sort of ontological transformation. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, unfortunately, we all know that such annual aspirations can be a bit intimidating, a bit overwhelming, and thus fleeting. Well, I'm here today to encourage you, to encourage us, not to be overwhelmed, not to feel inadequate, you know, not to be discouraged. Do you know the phrase, "We're all in this together"? Sure you do. Sure, good. Okay, hold on to that just for a moment. You see, it's important to note that in that passage from Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, Paul employs the plural second person pronoun, not the singular. You know, it's one of the many kind of irregularities of the English language that the second person singular, second person plural are identical. So that's a little bit confusing when translating things. So in other words, Paul writes, "Let you," plural, "you," the community, "have the mind in you that was in Christ Jesus." And then on top of that, it's in the imperative mood. Imperative. You know, not that we should or that we could or we might possibly have the mind of Christ. No. We will have the mind of Christ. You know, that's who we are. That's why we're here. That's why we exist, to be the body of Christ. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Okay. You know, Eugene Peterson translated it's called The Message, I think, is what his translation is called. In his translation of John chapter 1, verse 14, is the perfect Christmas epiphany text. And you know the words. You probably haven't heard it put this way. It reads, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." Wow. Even Pickwick, where we are. Friends, that's what we're dealing with as we straddle the seasons of Christmas and Epiphany. You know, that's what we're dealing with as we wrestle with constructive, substantive, and meaningful change in our lives. Do you remember the gospel lesson this morning? I just read it. Okay, work with me on this. The visit of the Magi. Okay. The Magi show up in Jerusalem looking for the baby Jesus. They followed the star. It was a pressing question that they had. It was the perfect question. Where is he? That's why people come to the church too, right? Somehow they follow something here, and they walk in, they go, "Where is he?" Huh. That's interesting. That's a pressing question. Where is he? They ask, and then they defend their question. He's got to be here somewhere, because we saw the sign. We saw the sign. Huh. Perfect epiphany verse for the church, isn't it? This is a place he's supposed to be. So where is he? We exist to be the body of Christ. Let the same mind be in y'all, how about that? Y'all, that was in Christ Jesus. Let this be your pattern of thinking, acting, and feeling, which was also displayed in Christ Jesus. One of the many things that was upended this past year by the pandemic is the beloved trip. You know, the beloved road trip, vacations, long weekends, visits to grandma's house, you know, even the one-day trips to the beach or to the mountains. They've all been compromised in some way. And that's been hard on every single one of us to some degree. And it's been hard in many ways, but especially in a way that strikes at our very core. You see, even simple day trips, you know, visits to grandma's, have deep meaning embedded in the mechanics of the trip themselves. You know, traditional journeys become standardized over time by their repetitive nature. You know, the trips become ritualized, religious even. Yes. You know, not only do we take the same roads to these destinations year after year, but we even stop at the same places along the way. Think about your trips when you go home, when you go to relatives, when you go to the beach, wherever it is. You know, for instance, every single summer, when we go to the beach, we always go to Cracker Barrel, both going and coming. There's a Cracker Barrel here somewhere, but we never go to it. But it's part of our vacation ritual. And we take the same roads. You know, we stop at the same gas stations. You know, not that there's anything particular about a certain gas station. It's just that we know where it is, and we always go there. And we go to we know which restaurants have the cleanest bathrooms. And that doesn't bother me. But there's some people in my family kind of peculiar about such things. Yeah, we do the same thing. And we know the landmarks. Oh, look what they've done to that house. Last year we drove by, they didn't have that front porch. Or they always do nice lights on their house. Or the factory's been torn down. I wonder what happened. We go through the ritual. And we talk about the same things. You know, times have changed this past year. We didn't have those opportunities. We didn't have those sacred conversations along the way. All this has been kind of whirling through my mind because we're all mourning those trips, whether we're conscious of it or not. But this past week, as we're moving from one year to the next, I was thinking about this. You know, when one year ends, you have both feelings of loss but also hope. You know, you see at the beginning of a new year, we stop and we look back. We celebrate kind of what did happen, but we lament what could have happened. And then we turn and we look forward and we peer into the new year and we dream of what might be, what could be. And then we hit the road. And New Year's like one of those sacred journeys, right? It's not completely unknown. We've been down that road before. We know what to expect, what to see, where to go, right? Maybe. I used to think that Matthew 2, this gospel lesson this morning, was just a nice story that was read at the outset of each new year. A nice epiphany story about three magi that I always grew up calling kings, okay, who bring fancy, although I think rather inappropriate, gifts to a baby. Anyway, to me, Matthew 2 has always been reduced to just one of those Kodak moments. Does anybody here know what I mean when I say Kodak moments? Y'all are old because I have no idea what that means, Chris. Kodak, anyway. Last Thursday, as the new year approached, I realized that Matthew 2 offers a legitimate and meaningful epiphany vision. You know, a vision of what could be, of what I could become. Hear it again. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So far, so good. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, wait for it, they left for their own country by another road. And that's it. You know, that's a guiding metaphor for a new year, especially this year. They left for their own country by another road. You know, every year it's the same, right? We start over at the beginning of January, and we take off down the same road that we did the previous year. We take it because it's familiar. It's relatively safe. And what's interesting, though, if you think about it, is that it's the familiarity of the trip that prevents us from seeing anything new. We always see the same sights. We tick off the same mile markers, make the same comments, same old, same old. The problem is 2020 really screwed everything up. We're tired of traveling that road. We're ready for a new route this year. So how about this? How about in 2021, we take our lead from the Magi? How about another road trip this year, a road that might take us through new country, offer us new vistas to enjoy, offer us a new depth of life to experience and to explore. Now, wouldn't that be something? And as you know, because I tell you every year, Epiphany derives from the Greek word epiphania, which simply translated manifestation or appearance. Epiphany is a day set aside by the church to celebrate the manifestation, the appearance of God's grace in the person of Christ. It's what we're already doing here. We're the body of Christ. We're trying to figure this Christ thing out together. We're trying to figure out this God thing. We're trying to figure out this life thing. Because in first century Palestine, a group of people found meaning for their lives. They found direction for those lives as they encountered an itinerant preacher from Galilee named Jesus. It was called an epiphany because in this incredible life, they found a path into the very heart of God. They found another road. On Wednesday, so 3 days from now, we'll move from Emmanuel to Epiphany. In Advent and Christmas, we wrestle with what it means for the presence of God to join us, to break into our lives. In Epiphany, starting Wednesday, we wrestle with how to make that presence tangible through our lives. We wrestle with how that presence changes our lives as a community. We exist to be the body of Christ in the world. Let the same mind be in y'all that was in Christ Jesus. Let this be your pattern of thinking, acting, and feeling, which was also displayed in Christ Jesus. So, okay. Everybody, into my car. Everybody. And we could all fit probably in my car. Into my car. All right. It's time to go. It's time to go. It's a new year. So, happy new year. Happy Epiphany. And thanks be to God. Amen.